an apothecary were used to keep Brooke's books stationary. Used to keep Brooke's stationary is one. Could that be? It's not a pill. It's not. Oh, wait. Mortar? Yeah, mortar. Mortar is in mortar and pestle. And Karen has the president's speech to the nation or to determine a structure's location. This is from Karen's son, Jackson. I love being challenged on these. A president's speech to the nation or to determine a structure's location. Jackson, I think that's address. And the answer, we were looking for an action for which an alarm could be meant, the after effects of a major event, the natural action that causes where the water went. We were looking for a wake. In the wake of the fire or the alarm being sent to wake you up. So that's the answer we had for that. Thank you for playing along with those this morning. If you missed any answers, feel free to let us know. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend line. This is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT, Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM, Grove City, WCUC FM, Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find our player and links to TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and our unique Listen by Phone service at 631-359-8728. the Saturday Light Brigade. Her name is Eliza Lynn. Sang a song, the name of the tune you just heard her share. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce you to two podcasters that have been working from our Youth Media Center on a weekly basis. Their podcast is about to start once again. Now that the spring school semester is upon us and we've passed the holidays, you'll get a chance to learn what they're doing and what the experience has been like in just a few seconds.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Tales and Treats, a Pittsburgh musical theater program where teen students at PMT Conservatory manage, choreograph, market, and present free theater productions for kids. The Tales and Treats production of Pirates and Zombies, a Scarabian Crucicle, will be held on January 10th at the Gargaro Theater in the West End. More information is available at pittsburghmusicals.com.
Teens interested in podcasting, writing, music, journalism, or other forms of self-expression are invited to join us for a wide range of SLB Youth Media Center programs. Activities include workshops on writing and audio recording, as well as weekly open mics and open studio hours on Mondays through Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Activities are free to area teens. Visit ymc.slbradio.org for details.
Now, please allow me to introduce you to our two podcasters. What's, I think, especially cool is these two are sisters. They're only one grade level apart. And sometimes you might think, oh, don't they already see enough of each other? Why do a podcast too? But that's anything but the case, at least from my perspective. You seem to be having a lot of fun doing the podcast and play off of each other really well. I'd like to just get to know you individually a little bit first so the audience understands who each of you is. Ira, you are in ninth grade.
Yeah, I am.
And tell me a little bit about yourself, what you like doing, what your passions are.
Mm-hmm. So my name is Ira. I am a freshman at Shadyside Academy, and I play the piano and cello. Those are two things that I really love doing, and I also especially love drawing, and I also really like video editing, too. That's an interest of mine that I really like.
That's great. Have you made any video works yet?
I have a YouTube channel where I post some, like, edits of characters that I like and things around that, but mostly just projects for school.
Excellent. And let me turn to Uma. Tell me a bit about yourself.
Thank you so much for inviting us on the show today. I'm currently a sophomore at Shadyside Academy, and similar to Ira, I love playing the piano. I've been playing for about 10 years now. I also love playing golf. It's my favorite sport, and I'm actually the president of and founder of a nonprofit, so I do a lot of community work, and it's something that I'm really passionate about recently.
Tell me a little bit about the nonprofit.
Yeah, it's called United Minds Charitable Foundation, and it's actually international. We do work based in India and Pittsburgh. So recently, or in during the past summer, the two of us actually went to India, and we've done some work with a special needs center in India to raise art awareness for the kids and kind of run art workshops there. And we also did a similar thing at a blind relief school in India. So we raised some money, and with our volunteers, we went and we donated some supplies for them. So it's something I'm really passionate about recently.
That is terrific. Now, the program that you host together is called Off the Record. And tell me a little bit, what will people hear when they tune in, and what's your hope for listeners, for your audience?
So our show is mainly geared towards like the youth of today, and it mainly like covers topics that we like talking about and important topics that we feel are important to like give a voice to. And we also invite lots of guests over onto our show, and we have monthly themes for each month. So we started off with music relating things and guests around that, then we moved to world languages, and now we are currently doing things based on visual arts.
What a great idea. And I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but it might be good to just have the two of you talk a bit about visual arts, as an example of what the podcast may sound like. I know you two are very good at extemporaneous conversation. I'll try to stay out of the way as best I can, but what are your thoughts about the importance of visual arts?
Yeah, so recently we have been talking about visual arts. We've been bringing in art teachers, several art students from our school. I actually lead art club at my school, so it was a pretty good opportunity for us to actually talk about visual arts. But I think some of the common themes we've actually had with our show is that visual art can help you express yourself, and you don't need words to do it. Like, through paintings, or visual arts isn't just paintings, it's also, it could be video game animating, movies, even like music in a way, which is also what we talked about. But Ira, do you want to add on to that?
Yeah, so we basically cover about how like art is an outlet for creativity, and we invite people on to share their thoughts about why they think art is important, and a topic that we've also been like covering a lot recently because we feel that it's very relevant is AI art, and how it's a good tool, but it's not very beneficial if you're taking away the creativity from something that is supposed to be done through like hard work and put in through like effort and human creativity instead of typing in like a couple of prompts. So I feel very strongly about AI art, and so that's a topic that we've been discussing a lot recently.
Yeah, additionally, we've also been talking about the future of art and adding on to Ira, especially with AI art. We're not really sure of how the future of art is going to look like if everyone is typing words into prompts and just generating art. So we've kind of been discussing that during our shows and saying how people are still going to make traditional art in the future.
Yeah, we've also been talking about a little bit about some art pieces that we like and ones that we've done or artists that we've seen like in like museums and such that we really like felt connected to. So we've also been sharing a couple of things related to that as well.
It's easy to just turn things over to both of you. Ricky had joked I could take a break for this half hour and just let the two of you talk. I'm curious how your peers, family, have reacted to your podcast. By the way, the podcast is called Off the Record. Ira and Uma host it. I don't know if we have the past episodes archived online yet?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. Do you know where they are located? I should.
Oh, yeah. Normally, we save the episodes, and then Alex just sends them over to us, so we just have them with us.
Ah, okay. We'll need to make sure that'll be a New Year's resolution that I'll make publicly now. I want to be sure people can hear your past episodes. You've done how many shows now? I think
around 13-ish, wow. 12 or 13.
We have to make sure when you get that many that those episodes are up. Have you had much reaction from family members and peers?
Actually, yes, I believe we had. When I went to school, I told all my friends that I have a live show now, and they were super excited about it. And the one question they would ask us is, can I please be on your show? And of course, I was like, yes, of course you can be on my show, because all of my friends, they're really talented as well. And you know how we have themes for each month. If one of our friends like pertains to one of our themes, of course we'll invite them on because they really want to be on our show, and we're so grateful for that as well.
Yeah, and a lot of times our friends have taken to calling into the show and asking questions, sometimes unrelated questions, but there's still questions and participation. And on the family sort of side, our dad always listens to all of our shows. He's sitting out there right now, and he always drives us, so thank you for that. And so our extended family sometimes listens to our shows too, like cousins, aunts, uncles, so we're both really grateful for that too.
That's excellent. Your dad has a big smile on his face right now that I could see it, but you cannot see. How do you pick the topics for each month's theme? I would think that would be hard. I know I have to do that kind of work. Is it?
In my opinion, I feel like it's not too bad because it's something that we both really enjoy, such as like music and art. We both do music and art, and we also speak like world languages too. We take some in school, and at home we speak Marathi. So I feel like it's usually something that pertains to us, but something that's general enough that we can talk about for an hour, basically, and for a month. So that's like 4 or 5 shows. So I don't find it to be very hard, but in a sense, once we get to the point where we start running out of topics, it might get a little bit more difficult in the future.
Yeah, I feel like we also try to base our shows off of youth interests a lot, like, especially with AI. AI has been such, like, a prominent interest among, like, especially high schoolers, so we feel like that's a really strong topic to address, especially. And that's also how we find the topics for our show. Another example of this would be like how I lead art club and how I realized like art is such a big interest among youth. So we also thought that that was a great theme to have on our show.
That's good insight. Ira and Uma are sisters in 9th and 10th grade, respectively, 14 and 16. They're at Shady Side Academy, and they host a weekly program from the Youth Media Center here at SLB that's called Off the Record. And I've seen you occasionally have a teacher in or other adult. It's probably been fun to kind of be, usually a teacher drives the activities and the conversation. When you have a teacher here as a guest, you're the one who's, the dynamics kind of flipped. You're driving what's happening. Do you sense that same kind of difference in your relationship?
So with Ira and I, normally during the shows, we take weeks to like man the controls, and we kind of alternate, so that's a pretty good dynamic. When we have a guest, normally I do feel like we're the ones driving the conversation, and it's supposed to be that way because of course your guest is going to be nervous. It's their first time on the radio, so we try to do our best to make sure that they feel comfortable. Like beforehand, we always send them out tons of questions just in case we run out of anything. We always want to be prepared and make sure that they're feeling comfortable like during the show. And they're going to be nervous. It's their first time on the radio, so we try our best to run the show in that sense.
Yeah, and sort of building off of that, I feel like the show is geared towards them, but it's mainly geared towards us too, because I feel like we are the ones driving the topics too, and they're just there to provide their insight and what we think they're doing is meaningful. So that is why we're having them to talk about their experiences and have a very meaningful discussion with them. So I feel like it's equal parts. We drive it and they drive it too. It's like we all come together for that like purpose.
I think that's, from my observation, why you've been very successful. It's important to have that consideration, and especially to have the empathy towards for your guests, knowing that they are probably far more nervous than you are. You mentioned operating the controls and switching or alternating. Do either of you have a preference for which you'd rather be doing?
I don't have a preference per se, but if it's like a guest, which I if it's like a teacher that I actually have in school, like I take a class with them, I like to be in the controls, so I look like I'm doing more stuff. Just fair. Yeah. So in my opinion, I like to be in the controls some of the times, but I also find it to be relaxing when I'm not like having to worry about that sort of stuff.
What about you, Uma?
Yeah, a similar reason. I feel like I prefer using the controls more often, but it's more because like I like to control like the music, or like I guess I like to monitor how the show's doing, and it's easier to do that like behind the controls, because like if someone's mic is too quiet or you can't hear something, like it's easier to like fix a problem like when you're behind the controls. So it just makes me feel like more at ease when I'm like using the controls.
Yeah, it's really a different experience. It's good that you're trading off to get the best of both of those experiences. I have a couple other questions for each of you, but is there anything else you would like to say about the podcast Off the Record?
I think just one thing that we like mainly emphasize is that it's youth focused, and it's just sort of geared towards those people who feel a need to like express themselves in some topics that they feel very strongly about, to come on and like add to the conversation.
And do you think adults who might lurk, I'm sure they're still welcome to listen, what do you think they might learn if they tune in?
Yeah, of course. I think our show is definitely for everyone, and a lot of our topics, including art or language, they also pertain to adults, of course, and anyone can really learn something from our pod, from our live show. Like, the two of us do so much research. Like, if you've listened to our past episodes, you can definitely tell. Like, we're always bringing in statistics or previous studies. And I've definitely learned a lot from our show, and a lot of things that I definitely wouldn't know if I wasn't doing Off the Record. So I think there's so much to learn, even if you're a kid or an adult. Like, anyone can learn from it.
I hope that folks will tune in and learn. When is your next live episode?
So it's next Thursday. I'm not sure. It might be the 15th. I'm not quite sure, but it's from 5 to 6 every Thursday. So be sure to tune in on youthexpress.org.
So that's Thursday the 15th. You got it right. Thursday, January 15th, 5 to 6, live at youthexpress.org. O-R-G, and really worth listening to. I know you see me over there. I am listening and trying to suppress a big smile, because I'm just thrilled at how well you've developed into the hosts that you are. I'm curious, you're both early in high school. Have you thought about what you might want to do once you graduate?
I think maybe, I'm not quite sure what field I want to go into, but right now, it might change in the future. I'm leaning more towards like being a lawyer and going into law and things like that.
I'm curious what underlies that decision. I have a feeling I might know, but tell me, do you have a kind of law?
Nothing in particular. Maybe not criminal law, but maybe something pertaining more to like civil matters, and also because like I like speaking and I like arguing with people, so and I find that those sorts of things to be fascinating, and I think that's what drives my motivation for that sort of field.
Well, you'd be good at it, and I think in terms of striving for equity and voices being heard, that's an important aspect of being an attorney as well. What about you, Uma?
Yeah, I feel like for me it's a bit too early to tell, but I have so many things that I love, like radio especially, and right now I'm leaning a bit towards like pre-med because I really love science, and I feel like in all of these things, there's a lot of like trial and error. Like, you always have to try a lot of things to figure out what you want to do. I feel like that relates to pre-med. It relates to radio in a way, because you have to try so many things to kind of get the outcome that you want and be comfortable with it. So that's kind of what I'm leaning towards.
Well, and all of these skills relate to one another. And if you're a lawyer or a doctor, you have to know how to communicate, how to listen, how to interact with a wide range of people. So I hope the experiences you've been getting here and elsewhere have been good. Running the art club has got to be a great experience too. We're just about out of time. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
Just that we're so grateful that for the opportunity to have this discussion with you today, and thank you so much for inviting us on. And also be sure to tune into our episode next week, all Thursdays from 5 to 6 p.m.
Yeah, and I'd like to say I think SLB is such an amazing place because they give so many opportunities to youth to actually have live shows. I know a lot of other places don't do that, and I think it's such an amazing thing that you guys do here. And I think we're just so grateful to be here today. We're grateful to our dad for always supporting all of our episodes, and we're also grateful to everyone that's been supporting us. And yeah, tune in to Off the Record live on Thursdays. We'd love to have you guys listen. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you one more question. Sometime, I think it would be fun if I just took a hike for this segment. Would you be up for doing that sometime here?
Definitely.
We'll come up with the time. I won't go forever. but I think it would be fun to let you take over, or we could play one of your shows sometime. Thank you both for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go. Have Ira and Uma. They are hosts of Off the Record. And you can tune in 5 to 6 coming up on January 15th at youthexpress.org.
Last for long, but now I think I may.
the Saturday Light Brigade with the Chenille Sisters. Coming up, we are going to turn to Carnegie Mellon University's Summer Academy for Math and Science. Madeline Tomko is here. She was with us about 14 months ago or so with the Shaler Area Sustainability Club. She's now in her first year at Carnegie Mellon as a civil engineering student. And we'll talk a bit about the summer program and about what a first semester at college has been like. Broadcasting live, I don't think there's any other way, from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from slbradio.org. Saturday Light Brigade, and there you have John Callen with Carousel. In just a minute, a chance for you to meet 18-year-old Madeline Tomko in her first year at Carnegie Mellon University studying civil engineering. I'm really curious to get her perspective on that. She is also going to talk with you about the Summer Academy for Math and Science applications are due February 1st. So even though summer is not for a while yet. The application is going to be due soon, so we'd like to encourage you to consider applying to this merit-based program if it's of interest to you. We'll have that conversation in just a moment.
Prime Stage Theater joins you in supporting the Saturday Life Brigade. Prime Stage Theater's productions of Freedom House, Giving Life a Second Chance, shares the story of the first EME unit in the Hill District. Freedom House takes place at New Hazlett Theater in Pittsburgh's North Side from January 23rd through February 1st as part of its 29th season. More details are available at primestage.com.
Teens interested in podcasting, writing, music, journalism, or other forms of self-expression are invited to join us for a wide range of SLB Youth Media Center programs. Activities include workshops on writing and audio recording, as well as weekly open mics and open studio hours on Mondays through Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Activities are free to area teens. Visit ymc.slbradio.org for details.
We are excited to have the Youth Media Center open once again this coming Monday. And you can get information about all the activities, a daily schedule, at ymc.slbradio.org. Madeline, it's nice to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
And she was here with us, November of 2024. So it would have been your senior year with the Shaler Area Sustainability Club. And since we last saw you, you graduated, and now you've found yourself at Carnegie Mellon with in the first year at civil engineering. How did that happen? You probably had a number of schools you were considering as you got out of high school. Was CMU the one you really wanted to go to?
Yeah, CMU was always kind of like my top school because of the summer program I did, and I was familiar with it. And it was one that I really wanted to go to above all others that I applied to. And I actually, originally, I was waitlisted and I didn't get in. So I was committed to Pitt until about July of this year, or I guess last year now, when Carnegie Mellon emailed me like right in the middle of the summer and said that they had a spot for me, which I took.
That's amazing. I think a lot of schools have had a little trouble balancing their acceptances and then matching how many students are going to say yes. I think the pandemic has made that equation a little harder sometimes. So the Summer Academy for Math and Science, I know a little bit about the program, but not as much as I should. Can you explain what it's all about?
Yeah, so it's a six-week residential pre-college program. So you live on campus, you have a meal plan, all of that. Like, you stay in the actual dorms that they use, mostly the freshman dorms. And you take a bunch of classes while you're on campus. Of course, one in math, one in science. You have like a project course. And then there's also like one that's writing, meant for you to learn how to write your Common App essay, as well as one they call like student to scholar, which is just kind of like general, like not college prep, but just kind of like learning how to come into your own as a student and also, I guess, a scholar.
Who is the scholar in that relationship? Is it a grad student or a professor?
No, it's more like you're learning how to be more than just like a high school student. You're learning how to be more like...
Got it. It's the pathway from student to becoming a scholar.
Yes.
I was thinking it was a relationship between a student and a scholar. Who teaches these classes?
Some of them are taught by CMU professors or faculty, like people that are already there. But then others, I think there are people that just like come in and from other universities to teach it. Like I remember my professor for math that year, I don't remember where she said she taught, but I know it was somewhere else. But I believe everybody, generally speaking, is involved with a university in some shape or form.
So it really, in some ways, it's like a dress rehearsal. And I suspect the classes either, maybe it's both, help you understand the cadence and lifestyle of succeeding on a college campus or the rhythm of a college lifestyle. So once you're adapted to it, you understand what you're in for. But I would imagine some of the content you learn might give you a bit of an edge. Did you learn things in math, for example, that showed up in your first year math requirements at CMU?
Not quite. The year that I was there, the math options they had weren't like the kind of math you'd think it would be. Like, it wasn't calculus or anything. It was more so like more abstract concepts of math. Like, I took graph theory, which is about like sort of like sequencing and like ordering things a certain way. Like, it has a lot of applications in computer science, which like I heard about like later down the line when I took computer science my senior year of high school. But yeah, a lot of it is just kind of like giving you more abstract things that you wouldn't have known about going in, just to kind of put you in that situation where you're totally unfamiliar with something, but you're having to figure out how to learn it and do that in a college environment.
So part of it sounds like just helping you sort of adopt the wiring that it might take to learn about something abstract or something brand new. Or one of the things, I knew I wanted to study engineering, but not necessarily to be an engineer. I just wanted to learn kind of the principles of how to solve problems. And probably graph theory, maybe it'll be something you use specifically in civil engineering. But if you don't use it explicitly, I'm sure it's part of how your mind develops as you do that. That's fascinating. So you mentioned the classes again in the summer academy. You had a math, and what were the others?
There is a science. There's like a project that you work on for the 6 weeks that you're there. And then there's also a writing class and the student to scholar class that I mentioned.
And what was the project class like?
So it's a little bit different, and I think they change them up quite a bit every year. But when I was there, there were seven of them, all kind of like a broad like range of like applications, because there were some that were more like research heavy. Like, I believe there was one that was a lot of just like pretty like straight biological research. But then there were other ones that were more like, there was one that was kind of exploring different polymers in like a chemistry lab and learning about how those are made and what they can be used for. I'm trying to think. The one I was in was called game design, where you kind of get like a crash course in using a game development engine. And then for the remainder of the program, you kind of work on developing one in a team of like, we had four people. Which was really interesting, because it's not something I would have had the opportunity for otherwise. And even though I'm not doing anything with computer science or game development, I still think it was a really cool experience.
What's a game development engine?
So the one we used our year, which I think they changed since, was Unreal Engine, which is what a lot of very popular video games are built on. It just kind of like gives you, I guess, like the scaffolding to build a game. Like, it gives you sort of all of the commands and the framework for it, and then you just kind of put your vision into it.
Fascinating. This is Madeline Tomko, a student at Carnegie Mellon University, and we're talking a bit about the Summer Academy for Math and Science. So that project class is probably, it's a team project, as you said, you and three other people. Is a lot of that project not only the topic of the project, but the relationships and working as a group? Because that can be tough. You're all there for the same reason. But I know when I was at Carnegie Mellon working across disciplines and majors was something we stressed a lot. And that can be challenging. People mm-hmm. all look at the world a little differently.
Yeah, I do think a big part of it was working in teams and learning how to work with others. I do think a lot of the other projects tried to center that in some way or the other. Like, even if you were working individually on, like, the actual, like, work in class, I think a lot of the presentations were done in groups to kind of foster that sort of environment.
So you, this year's summer program runs June 20th through August 1st, and applications are due February 1st. What got you interested back a year ago when it was time for you to apply for this program? What excited you about applying and getting a chance to go?
Well, I originally heard about it because I went to like a speaker session thing with my high school's Math Honor Society, and she brought up that like there are these opportunities you can apply for in the Pittsburgh area, including the Summer Academy for Math and Science. And I thought like it would just be a really interesting thing to do. It'd be a good way to spend my summer. I also knew at the time, because I was a junior in high school starting to think about college, that I was very interested in STEM and that Carnegie Mellon would be a good place for me to try to pursue that in college. So I just thought, like, that could be something cool. It could be something fun to do.
That must have been the longest you've lived away from home. 6 weeks, right? And you're mm-hmm. living in the dormitories at CMU. What was that like?
It was honestly, I really liked it. And I was really happy I did that because it made me a lot less nervous about coming to college now and living in a dorm. I actually ended up being in one of what are now the upperclassmen dorms. It was the 5th and Clyde building. So it was really nice. It was pretty brand new in there. But I had a lot of fun. Like, I made a lot of friends. It was a really good time.
Did some of them end up going to Carnegie Mellon as well?
Mm-hmm. Like, the people from my, like, inner circle that I hung out with the most didn't. But I do know some people that are now also freshmen with me at CMU.
Nice to be able to know that. So you can, if you go to cmu.edu/pre-college, or you can go to Instagram at cmupre-college. You can learn more about the program. Again, applications are due February 1st. The program runs June 20th through August 1st. It's a merit-based program. It is there are full scholarships available, I believe, to the program. I want to ask you some other questions just about life at CMU for a first-year student, but anything else you wanted to mention about the pre-college program?
Just that it was a really good time. Like, yeah, it was fun, and it gave me a good idea of what college was going to be like. But I think it also really helped build my confidence, like, as a student. Like, I wasn't really that nervous about coming to college this year. I felt pretty confident in who I am and, like, what I want to do and what I want to achieve. And I attribute a lot of that to my experience with pre-college.
It's great to hear. Again, on Instagram, at CMU Pre-College, or just Google CMU Pre-College, and you'll find the information you need if you're interested in applying. And this would be for a person, I think, who graduates, if you are going to be graduating in 2026, or can you attend between your junior and senior year? If you don't know, I'll look it up.
I believe it's between your junior and senior year because they want you to finish the program and then go and do your final year of high school.
Ah, okay. That's the way it worked.
I believe
you?
So, yeah. Okay. So you apply as a junior.
So you can get all of that information at CMU Pre-College's website. So I'm curious how you arrived at civil engineering as your major and what it's been like so far, whether you're taking any classes in your first semester or in this semester that are specifically related to CIVI?
Well, I originally started thinking about civil engineering because I took a sustainability class at my high school and I was very involved with the sustainability club. And so I knew that was something I wanted to pursue in my career down the line. And I found that there were a lot of applications with that, with civil engineering. And it's also just something I've kind of always been interested in, like especially structural things. And more recently, I found like transportation related things pretty interesting. So it's kind of always been a no-brainer. I didn't really consider many other majors.
That's terrific to hear. What are some of the classes that you've taken out? Have you gotten into departmental classes in your first year?
Not quite yet. The only one I've been able to take is the intro course, which you have to as a freshman. And that was really interesting because it's for the entire department of civil and environmental engineering, so you do a little bit of both. But I don't believe I'll be able to take any major courses until next year.
Do you know how many civil engineers are potentially in your class? I'm sure some might change, but do you know the rough? For me, we had about 100 chemical engineers during my freshman year. Do you know roughly the number of civvies?
I don't have a precise number, but from what I've heard, it's maybe only like 20 or 30 in civil specifically, and probably a similar amount in environmental. It's a very small department.
I thought so. Do you have a sense of men and women, if there's, if one dominates the other, or is it about equal?
I think for civil, it's about equal. In environmental, what I've heard from upperclassmen is that normally it's all women and then there's only one man. But I think this year that changed. I think there's a few more guys in it.
I'm happy to hear about the equal aspect that you mentioned as far as undergraduate, because that's been not equal for a long time. For whatever reason, a lot of engineering schools seem to be dominated by men rather than women. I don't know why exactly, but I'm glad that's changing a bit. How is the stress level at CMU? I know from having been a student as well as still being on campus, every now and then it can get kind of stressy, a lot to do. You clearly must be coping quite well. You seem confident that you're doing well. Are you on break now?
Yeah.
I thought so. But how has it been so far?
It's been pretty manageable. Granted, my first semester I had to retake a couple classes from high school because I didn't get the credits to transfer, but generally speaking, I think most of the semester was pretty all right, and it's just finals that was kind of awful, but that's how finals is, that's college.
Yeah.
And also, it's just a lot of managing, like, your workload, also with, like, if you're doing anything extracurricularly, because I know I am, and I didn't really take a break with that from high school. I kind of jumped right back into everything, so that's been kind of tricky to manage, but it's going well.
Do you have any advice for people that are going to be starting college, maybe a year younger than you?
Maybe just take the time to be kind of adventurous. Like, one of my personal, like, things that I try to do is if someone asks me if I want to go somewhere, like, even if it's just like running to the store or like going to the library or something, I'll always say yes, just because it's something to do and it's something to put like a break in my schedule rather than just kind of sitting secluded and like studying all night, or like going out to eat or something spontaneously. Like, it's fun to always say yes to things like that.
That's very good advice. Madeline Tomko is representing herself, of course, but also the Summer Academy for Math and Science at Carnegie Mellon. You can attend it just as she did, learning more at CMU Pre-College on Instagram, or cmu.edu/pre-college online. Is there anything else you'd like to say regarding where you are in life now and where you hope to be?
I will say I'm really happy with where I am right now. CMU was one of my top schools, and I'm very happy to be here. I'm very happy to be studying what I'm studying. And I guess I just hope that continues. It's been a very good first semester so far, and I look forward to, I guess, the next seven of them.
Excellent. It's been great to have you here today. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, you seem to, you're here every 15 months or so. We'll have you back. Once again, Madeline Tomko, graduate of Shaler and now in her first year at Carnegie Mellon University. Dean McGraw, Chris Hannigan is going to be joining us in our next hour. A ukulele, or an ukulele, has entered along with him. And the guitar as well. Here's hoping you'll stick around for that. Thank you for enjoying radio that's made live right before your very ears. Radio that recognizes that we don't need to hone everything down to just one mood or one style or a singular focus, that it's quite possible to speak with college students, high school students, to have fun with games, to be heard in rural, suburban, urban areas. Thanks for being the most important part of what we do. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this thing we do is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT, Pittsburgh, WIUP, FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache, Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser West.